And we're back with Max Edison, Defender and Network Sports Editor. Welcome back to the show, Graham.
Good to be with you. Happy New Year to you and Val and Eugene and the whole crew, Motion. Good to see you for another year. Looking forward to bigger and better things.
Yeah, this is the first time this year. Well, happy New Year.
Absolutely. Hope you had a great holiday season.
Oh, absolutely. Every day's a holiday.
You got that right.
It's 19 before 10 o'clock. It's been a couple of big stories. Let's start with...
Before you get started and wound up on the bigger things, let's acknowledge a big night over at the H&PE Arena on the campus of Texas Southern last night. Want to acknowledge and do a little shout-out to Coach Mike Davis over at Texas Southern, the men's basketball coach. And, of course, Byron Rim, the fine coach up at Prairie View. Triple overtime thriller last night. The men defeated Prairie View's score was 87-83. And it was everything you asked for.
That wasn't football, was it?
No, it was basketball. Come on, Jay.
Your sense of humor.
But, just an outstanding game last night. Great enthusiasm, as you might expect. All the things that you expect from HBCU sports, especially in the basketball genre. And, by the way, a clean sweep by Texas Southern last night. Coach Perry's women's team defeated the Lady Panthers in a game earlier yesterday, but just an outstanding atmosphere over at the H&PE Arena at Texas Southern. And just want to acknowledge the basketball coaches for men and women at both of those fine universities for the job they do, and like to encourage people to go out and support either TSU or Prairie View in basketball and all of their endeavors.
Yeah, and you got such a wonderful place to view the game.
Oh, absolutely. You know, a lot of times, you know, we get caught up in what the Texans are doing, and of course that's great, and of course we're excited about...
Of course you can't afford a ticket, but...
Well, it's not my problem. But you get excited...
It's been so loud, I mean, you know... Well, okay.
But you get excited about what's happening up in Texas and at Texas A&M, and certainly those things are historic, but, you know, we've got two fine institutions that are HBCUs right here in the greater Houston area, and they deserve our support.
Absolutely. And speaking of support, the Texans name O'Brien as new head coach.
Absolutely. One of the things that happened, a byproduct of going 2-14 on the season, is there's going to be changes. And the agents of change have been swift over in the Reliant area a couple of weeks ago, announcing that Bill O'Brien, a former offensive coordinator with the New England Patriots and two-year head coach at Penn State, was going to be the new head coach with the Texans. Comes to the Texans with an interesting resume. Of course, the New England Patriots have long been considered one of the standard bearers of excellence in the NFL. And McNair, the owner, is hoping that transcends through Bill O'Brien to the Texans. Seems like an interestingly enough guy from the New England area, grew up in Boston, you know, has that fiery Irish temperament. So compared to Gary Kubiak and that extraordinarily laid back, almost apologetic style, should be a real nice kick in the pants from an attitude perspective. And obviously, you know, we've got to support him. He wasn't my first choice. My first choice was Lovie Smith, former head coach at Chicago, won 10 games a season ago and was fired for winning 10 games. But Lovie landed on his feet. He's now the new head coach at Tampa Bay. And we've got Bill O'Brien. And you know, all we can do is just kind of wait and see how things unfold. Now, one good thing about Bill O'Brien and his administration is, you know, I've already had insight that he's going to hire Romeo Crennel, or they have reached an agreement with Romeo Crennel. One of the finest defensive coordinators in the league, has three Super Bowl championships as a defensive coordinator on his resume, and that's going to be a tremendous addition to the Texan defense. So you can't get an African-American head coach. At least O'Brien believes in diversity, and we'll have an African-American as defensive coordinator. And again, not just for the sake of having diversity, but he's one of the very best in what he does in the entire NFL.
And, of course, he got a lot of openings. They did go through there with a street sweeper once.
Oh, yeah. They cleaned house. The only person left from the previous staff was Bill Kohler, the defensive line coach. Other than that, we're going to see new faces and familiar places throughout the Texan coaching staff. And again, when you're 2-14, you can expect change to come. You know, had some outstanding assistant coaches that you hated to see, guys like Vance Joseph, the defensive back coach, Larry Kirksey, the receiver coach, Chick Harris, a good friend of mine that was a running backs coach that had been with the team since their inception. You hate to see them, you know, suddenly be jobless. But, you know, such is the way that the NFL goes. You got to win to stay employed. And these guys are fine assistant coaches. They'll find jobs elsewhere.
So what do you think the prospects are based on what we've seen so far for the Texans in the coming year?
Well, one of the nice things about being bad, you're so bad that, you know, you have the number one draft pick in the upcoming draft. And, of course, you have the college all-star games coming up in the next couple of weeks. And then in February, you have the NFL combine where you get a chance to look at all the young players that will be available in the draft. So there'll be a lot of anticipation, a lot of speculation. We've got the number one pick overall. Will we keep that pick and draft Teddy Bridgewater? Will we trade down and try to collect new, you know, additional picks? Mm-hmm. A lot of speculation as to which way we'll go. And, of course, that will fuel interest in the organization. And, of course, starting probably in February, March, we'll have the free agency period. So you'll start to see the personality of the new regime and the direction the franchise is going really starts to take place. First with the assistant coaches, free agent acquisitions, and then later with the draft. And that'll give us some type of indication of which direction the team is headed in.
Yeah, we've had a lot of strong players who spent a lot of the past season on the bench. Do you think most of those will be coming back? Well,
when you say strong players, you start with number 23, Arian Foster, all-pro, you know, running back, one of the best running backs in the business, had back surgery. You know, I've seen him a couple of weeks ago, and he seems to have recovered well from that, but that was just in street clothes. Brian Cushing suffered a knee injury and a broken leg. He's been recovering well, but, you know, those are serious injuries for a guy that had previously had a knee injury that kept him out of the entire season. So you hope that those two players, one of your best defensive players, and, of course, one of your best offensive players can come back and resume the type of careers that we're accustomed to seeing. But, you know, with injuries like that, you just don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's time goes so fast. Let's move on to the University of Texas.
Welcome.
Yeah, they made history. They had some top strong candidates for the head coach position, but they went with
a strong candidate.
A play on words. Aren't you cute today? Yeah, Charlie Strong, former head coach at Louisville, former defensive coordinator at the University of Florida. That he was on that staff that won two national championships. He's the new head coach at the University of Texas. No doubt, you know, an historic event, becoming the first African-American head coach at any of the major sports at University of Texas. So an outstanding candidate. And as I mentioned in the current edition of The Defender that's on newsstands right now, he was the person that I had tabbed for that position over 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. He was the only person that really made sense. Unfortunately, it took them a while to see that, but fortunately enough, they did. A guy that kids just love to play for, a guy with high integrity, high character, an outstanding recruiter, and a damn good football coach. And I think, of course, the success that Kevin Sumlin has had at A&M showed the people at UT that you can have an African-American head coach. The alums will accept it. The backers will accept it. And, oh, by the way, these guys are outstanding football coaches, and they'll help you win football games on Saturday afternoon.
And, of course, if you're winning, everybody's behind you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Winning cures all the ills. And Charlie's been a winner. He's a guy that I know personally. He's been a winner, and I don't see any reason with the resources that they have up on the 40 acres. There's no reason that he can't be just as successful as he's been at every other stop and just as successful as Mac Brown, his predecessor, who did a fine job there for over 16 years.
And there were some grumblings from some high-dollar alumni there at UT.
Oh, yeah, there's going to always be some grumblings. Anything that we do, there's not going to be without some opposition, and we can expect that. Mm-hmm. But I think they got Red McCombs, the billionaire donor and alumni that we're referring to. They got him under control. You know, he realized that this deal is done. We thank you for your $100 million contribution to the School of Business,
it's
with your name.
Yeah, well, it's the 21st century, and we're moving forward.
Yeah, we're moving forward. We got to do this, and, you know, you'll find out once you start winning that this guy was the right guy for the opportunity. But that's just life in the big city.
Yeah, there were a lot of other candidates that were actually mentioned ahead of him. He was like, when you hear the list, he was, you know, 3, 4, or 5, you know.
But. Well, you know, they considered a lot of candidates. He was the only candidate that made sense. Of course, when you're the University of Texas, you're going to look at multiple people because that's one of the most glamorous jobs in all of college football. But at the end of the day, we don't really it's unproductive to spend a lot of time talking about who they looked at. The person that they selected was Charlie Strong, and I think they made an outstanding selection. And there's a Houston connection because Steve Patterson, formerly the general manager of the Houston Rockets, is now the athletic director at the University of Texas. So, you know, it's funny how you see people be recycled. He's in a position, certainly not a stranger to diversity, and it was good to see him pull the trigger and convince all the followers of the University of Texas that this is the guy for the job.
And speaking of the Rockets, how are we doing?
The Rockets are doing well. You know, of course, you're merging a lot of new components. Dwight Howard is fitting in pretty well. They've had some issues with injuries. Chandler Parsons has been, you know, stifled with a knee injury. Patrick Beverly broke his hand, and we're still getting acclimated. Sometimes they look outstanding, and then sometimes they look like garbage all in the same game. Sometimes they look like the team that can't miss a shot, and then a couple of quarters later, they look like the team that can't make a shot. I think that's all a part of the growing pains of adding the different components and getting used to playing with Dwight Howard. But I'm going to take a page from what Daryl Morey said at press day, is that he wants the Rockets to be playing their best ball in April as we head into the playoffs because it's such a long season. And, you know, you're going to have those issues of merging the talent together and playing the way Coach McHale expects them to play. But I think they're a continued work in progress, and they're going to frustrate us at times. But as long as they're playing their best ball in mid to late April, heading into May in the playoffs, I think the people of Houston will be pleased.
Okay, and I just can't resist going to the left coast for a minute. How the Lakers doing?
I don't know. And moving right along, that completes this Laker update from a fan of the Lakers and a guy who calls part of his hometown as Los Angeles. But I wanted to remind people, you know, that the Super Bowl is coming up at the end of the month. And yours truly will be traveling to New York for the game, arriving in New York that Thursday. And, you know, the Super Bowl has turned into such a corporate event that a lot of people feel detached from the activities that go on throughout the week and leading up to the game. So I want to encourage people to like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at It's Max Edison. I will be doing everything I possibly can to give, you know, my people here in the greater Houston area some insight on the things that are happening at the Super Bowl. Of course, Thursday, some of the events that kick off, starting with the Fritz Pollard Alliance, Johnny Cochran Salute to Excellence, which includes and acknowledges all the diversity that has been accomplished in the NFL with presidents of organizations and general managers and head coaches. And that's normally the first event of the evening that Commissioner Goodell attends. And it's normally a star-studded affair, and that's how you get a chance to embrace people like Charlie Strong from the collegiate area and Lovie Smith from the NFL pro ranks and, of course, people like Tony Dungy and so forth. So, you know, that activity is going on, the commissioner's gala that Friday night. So, you know, we'll be, you know, I'm getting more and more into this social media thing. You know, I'm kind of an older gentleman. So this technology, it takes me a while to ramp up to it. But I'm off into it now, Jay.
Okay.
And
so
I'll be tweeting and posting.
You're going to be Instagramming? Because, you know.
No, I don't have time for all of that. That's too much.
Well, you can take it. Let him take it slow.
Let me take it slow, Jay. Thanks, man. Good. All of that there this year. But I'll be sending pictures. You know, that's all Instagram is pictures. You'll get to see some pictures.
Yeah, but it's not just pictures. Pictures with commentary.
Well, I'll have pictures and commentary on Twitter and Facebook.
Okay.
Max Edison. You know, you think you can tell me what to do.
No, I'm just learning.
I've got a national award.
You know, Magic is big on Instagram.
I don't tell you how to practice law, do I?
Okay. Well, okay. How about the game yesterday?
Okay.
The Seahawks and
thank you. Thank you, Val. Thank you very much.
That was a game. That was a game.
Hey, man, that was a great game between Seattle and New Orleans, an outstanding game. And then the late game pitting New England against Indianapolis was an outstanding game. And again, these playoffs are another indication of why the NFL is so darn popular. The caliber of the games, the quality of the games, the fact that you have last-minute heroics to win games last week, the games yesterday. We got big games today with San Francisco traveling to Carolina to take on the Panthers, and a local product from Houston, Lamar. Brandon LaFell is the starting wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers. You also have, on the other side, the Denver Broncos, the number one team in the AFC. They'll be taking on the San Diego Chargers, and a couple of local guys playing with the Broncos, Quentin Jammer from Angleton, Texas, in the University of Texas playing for the Broncos, as well as a number of other guys. So, the playoffs in the NFL are truly exciting. Yesterday, that was a slugfest in Seattle between Seattle and New Orleans. And that's what you really love about football, and that's why the sport is so ridiculously popular.
Yeah, and now then we got a big issue with the Super Bowl tickets. There's been a lawsuit filed because of, I know it's not going anywhere, but it's just interesting that, there's a fan who had to pay $4,000.
My heart goes out to him if he paid $4,000 for a ticket. Obviously, he has $4,000 to pay. So why is he complaining?
it's interesting, but it's very, very interesting. Anyway, hey, Max.
Any predictions for the big game?
No, I don't have any right now, Val. None of the teams. Well, I'm kind of partial to San Francisco, but really? Also I'm a big fan of Cam Newton and that group. So many things with these playoffs, it has you conflicted because you like a little bit of this team, you like a little bit of the other team. I mean, the Texans are nowhere to be found, so I don't have
and the Patriots.
I don't have what'd you say, Seattle and the Patriots? For once, you could be right, Jay. I think either Seattle is... Maybe
once.
San Francisco, but...
I mean, a broad clock is right twice. I mean,
yeah, for once, you could be right. Let me say this, Jay, before I leave. I want to shout out to my guys at the Worshiping Warriors Men's Chorus over at Windsor Village. They allowed me to come over here and be with you because we got to sing at 10, and, you booked me at 9:30, so...
Well, you can bail out a few notes here before you leave.
No, I'm not going to bail out a few notes. Come on now.
Okay. All right, we got to get on out of here. Max, thank you so much for being a part of
the program. It's always a pleasure. Don't forget the Defender... Network.com, our website, The Defender, Houston's leading and the nation's leading black information source. And for all those people who follow high school basketball, read Daryl Artison, one of the finest high school writers, sports writers anywhere in the nation. If you want to keep up with what's happening with Yates or Bush or any of the high schools in the greater Houston area, read Daryl Artison every week.
All righty. Thank you, Max Edison, Defender Network sports editor. We're Magic 102.1, Houston's only R&B station, KMJQ, Houston, Galveston. We're